From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. And this is a show where we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means body, mind, and spirit, and the importance of finding a balance in all three, in my opinion, so that the work we're doing within ourselves is actually going to be more integrated and complete. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Now, my topic today actually is, in a sense, a follow-up to last week's show, which I did on the difference between coaching and therapy with Lynn Gagliardi. And the show this week is about making a decision to win. And my guest this week is Gail Casper, who is an author, a public speaker, a motivational strategist, and she has a number of books, and in particular, we're going to be talking about her goal-setting audio CD program, which I actually got overnighted to me and was able to listen to a good part of it last night and this morning, and the name of this goal-setting audio CD program, it's actually five discs, is called Make a Decision to Win. Now, Gail, I want to welcome you to today's show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're taking your time on your Saturday to do this. You're on the East Coast somewhere, aren't you?
Yes, I am, right in southern New Jersey, about 20 minutes from Philadelphia.
Ah, where?
Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill, okay. I know the area. Anyway, you heard my brief introduction that last week I did a show on the difference between coaching and psychotherapy and how they can work together. And the more I read your materials and listened to the CD, I got a real clear feeling that a lot of what you do really is what might be defined as coaching. In terms of your actual strategies, in terms of how you seem to work one-on-one, it seems to me like a really focused coaching set of tools. Is that basically your intention? Is that your background? Tell us a little bit more about who you are and how you came to this.
Well, I started out as a manager in a medical research company, and that's where the training began. I wasn't a very good manager. I focused more on the task than the people. But the more that I learned about leadership, the more my team grew, the more the department grew, the more the company grew, and I started to see that it's really about the people, it's not about tasks. So from there, I moved on to Dale Carnegie training, prior resources training, so I have a lot of training background in terms of speaking skills, facilitation, and really pushing people to achieve more and challenge them. So in essence, Stuart, you're right. I mean, it's a lot of coaching. What I really work to do is identify specific needs, whether I'm working with an entire organization or with an individual, because I do both. And I do devise a specific step-by-step plan that they can follow, and I work to make it as easy as possible. I do have a little bit of psychology background because I took some courses when I was in college, but that wasn't the main focus when I was in college. I did pursue a business degree. A lot of my work has been through physical experience in the workplace at Dale Carnegie and prior resources, and then, of course, my own experiences. So, but I have to tell you, I have a lot of respect for therapists. You know, I myself have been in therapy for 12 years.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a big believer that people need to work on themselves. It's never, you're never there. You're always working to improve who you are. And in therapy, I can't tell you how many times I was able to really uncover some of the reasons that I made, choices that I made, and why I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm going to be in a position to coach people and help them gain better mental and emotional and increase their strength, I better be in the very best place I can be.
Well, that's a pet peeve of mine in terms of I think every therapist, every coach needs to be doing their own inner work. And, you know, it's like I've been in and out of therapy since I'm 17, and it's all been very good. And I really am a firm believer that we need to keep our closets clean, so to speak, as much as possible while still acknowledging our own humanity and the fact that we slip up sometimes and make mistakes sometimes because it's part of our human nature and part of our journey. You know, so it's an important thing that whether you're a coach or a therapist that people are not expecting perfection from you any more than they're expecting perfection from anyone else.
And even to add to that, I mean, I used to call myself a motivational speaker. And obviously I do that. I work to make people feel good about who they are so they move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I've really shifted a little bit into strategies because as much as I can push people and get excited about who they are, I'm really very real. You know, I do screw up. I do get off track. But obviously I pick up those CDs that I work to devise and I get myself back on track as quickly as I can. And I think the most important thing that I myself can do is just be honest with myself, and I talk about a value system and just say, you know what, I screwed up.
Right.
You know,
to me, that's about telling the truth faster. I mean, for me, it's always about the fear that people will find out I don't always practice what I teach, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, that gets back to the same thing. But the important thing is, and it's really kind of neat to hear that you pick up your own materials and your own CDs and use those to get back on track.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I recall times that I was in an kind of mood.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd actually rehearse one of my talks for an upcoming presentation for a group, and I felt better after I rehearsed.
Well, yeah, we kind of remind. It's like it's the same thing when I'm in a session with a client sometimes, and something comes out of my mouth, and while the client may be going, "Oh, I needed to hear that," there's a voice in my own head going, "I needed to hear that. Where'd that come from?"
Isn't that great?
I love when it happens because it's kind of like, "Oh, that's where I'm stuck."
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's really important. Now, before we go any further, I want to remind my listeners out there that this is a live show, and if you want to call in and put your two cents in, ask any questions, or talk about some struggle you might be having that Gail or myself might be able to assist you with on the air briefly, the phone number in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And if you're listening via the Internet, as I know a number of you are because I get emails and phone calls from you occasionally, it's the same number. It's a toll number, 480-949-1310. So getting back to make a decision to win. When I listened to, and it was really kind of great that your publicist, Elizabeth, got these materials to me yesterday afternoon, and they were so easy to listen to.
Oh, I'm so glad.
You break them down so nicely into sections that you can absorb it real quickly. And one of the things that came out to me immediately, actually, was in the introduction. One of the things that I'm aware of very often in my own life as well as with most of the people I know is that we usually make a decision to change when we're in enough pain.
Yes. It's like, you're right, the pain is just too much, and then you make a decision to do something. You're right.
It's why most people get into therapy, or most people end up at workshops, or, you know, most people, you know, do some drastic changes, and sometimes they're impulse because they're looking for a quick fix. And you talked about this woman stuck in the trunk of her car and, you know, made a decision not to wait for someone else to save her, but, you know, here she was drowning in the trunk of a car and decided to live.
Yes.
And it was a very powerful short story. You may want to tell it again right now because I think it brings it home a lot, the issue that this here she was facing a life and death decision and obviously had to make a choice. But most of us throughout our lives wait for those points to give us a wake-up call.
Yeah, we wait for somebody to come save us. You know, why is this happening to me? And we wait for people to come save us. But just to give a brief overview to your audience of the story itself, a woman was just coming home. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and a strange man in her own driveway abducted her. He took her keys, her ATM card, and he threw her into the trunk of her own car and then just started to drive for a couple of hours. Now, she's wide awake in the car, so she can hear what's going on, and all of a sudden the car stops. And little does she realize that the car had been pushed into a lake. So all of a sudden, this water starts to creep up through the trunk of the car. And at first, she starts to scream for help, you know, help me, somebody save me. And then she stopped, and she realized that nobody was going to save her except her. So she made a conscious decision at that moment that she was going to live. And when she did, she got herself into the logic, and she started to think, okay, what do I need to do to get out of here? She started to pull at the cables and the cords, and she finally found the latch that opened the trunk and saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
So she held it together and realized she had to be the one that got herself out of that. And in situations in our lives, I mean, we have a relationship and somebody breaks up with us, or we get fired and we lose a job. And our first instinct is, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? And our first instinct needs to be, you know what? What's tomorrow? Where's the opportunity? There's more out there for me than what I just had.
And then?
And
where
then,
do they go from there?
And then once they do, well, here's the thing. We all need to be working toward having networking events and being a part of social groups and organizations so that we can continue to build who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're aware that there is a world out there. You know, we start to realize that when these situations that take control of us, or we think they take control of us, we start to realize that, you know what, that situation isn't in control of my life. I'm in control of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that there are other opportunities out there.
Well, that's what making a decision to win is about. I know from listening to what I did here on the CDs, and a lot of time, and I think people can relate to that, when they get into a space like that, usually they're going to try and find some kind of distraction, someone to blame, some way to numb, whether it's through drugs or alcohol or sex or food or getting deeper in debt and things like that, that there are those choices people often make when the pain is great enough.
Right.
And like in the 12-step programs, when they say they've hit bottom, that's usually when things are painful enough to finally reach out for help, or they're admitted to a hospital, and there's a wake-up call.
Exactly. And there are individuals out there that don't survive that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the key here is how far down do you want to go before you do something about it? And that's one of the reasons that I'm such a believer, obviously in the work that I do, but also in the therapy end of it. Because that maintenance program that you can put yourself on can always keep you at an even keel in life. You know, you're going to fall off, you're going to make a bad choice, but you know what? It can keep you on an even keel, and it's so important to keep yourself moving forward with your own goals.
So I want to say something to the people that are listening. Some of the people that are listening really resonated with the description of their own life, where they're constantly going from one drama and one painful thing and source of anxiety to the next, to the next, to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And then they may have periods where they work on solution, but they don't stick with it. So I want those people to really listen and acknowledge and tell the truth faster that that's their pattern, and that what we're about to keep talking about today may be the solution for you. For the rest of the people listening and everybody listening, I want you to consider what life might be like if you made proactive decisions to change. Instead of waiting for the drama, instead of waiting for the pain, instead of waiting to what your belief system says is inevitable to come again, what if it wasn't inevitable? What if you had a tool? What if you had some choices and options to take now before the next hurricane hits?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about today with a program, you know, like Make a Decision to Win with Gail Casper. So this is not the only tool out there, Gail, and I'm sure you can admit that, too.
Well,
it's a good one. It's a very good one. As a therapist, I'm glad I now know about it, because it's something I can suggest to clients to get hold of and use. What is Make a Decision to Win, and how is it different than some of the other things that are out there?
It is a step-by-step process to help individuals take control of their lives and establish what their goals are and then give them the processes they need, the step-by-step processes to achieve those goals. Now, if we look at some of the other programs that are out there and some of the things that make this different, one thing is it comes with a workbook. So we all hear about having dreams in our mind of things that we want to achieve or goals that we want in our lives. Well, the workbook enables us to take those dreams and turn them into a reality by writing things down. So we actually come up with a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing that makes this program different is that there is a 21-day follow-up program. So there is a specific CD that you pop in and you listen to a different track every day for 21 days. Because we all know that we go through the CDs and then we say, okay, great, what did I listen to? What do I need to do next?
Well, that was interesting, but there's nothing to integrate how to use it and how to make it your own.
Right. And the 21-day follow-up program is designed so that individuals can get the reminders of what they heard in the program so they take action on it. So that they say to themselves, oh, yeah, that's right, I've been procrastinating on spring cleaning, or I've been procrastinating and saving for my future, I need to do that. So it's the reminders that keep us on track, and that's what helps us to build better habits, which helps us to establish consistency, which is really what's going to take us to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And when we start to develop those better habits, then they become part of our lives.
So give us an example of the more concrete steps. And before you get into that, save the procrastination issue for a little bit.
Okay,
because I definitely have some very specific things I want to talk to you about with that. But give us an example of how the tapes are set up and what kind of tools somebody might get by listening to this.
Well, one example would be just in goal setting. Sometimes it's challenging to say to yourself, you know, what do I need to do with my life or what do I want with my life? So I'll go through 9 different areas that individuals can establish goals in those areas so they have something specific to focus on. They set the goals, but I don't say to people, you know, go ahead and work on all of them. I say pick the top 3 that, if you accomplish them, would produce the greatest positive results in your life.
Prioritizing.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Because if we try to work on everything, Stuart, you and I both know that's not going to happen. It's overwhelming. It's too much. So that's one aspect. Another aspect I deal with is attitude. And I take a look at something called systematic attitude development, which is not just, come on, you've got to feel better. You know, there are other people that have it tougher than you. It's a 4-step process where you actually take steps to keep yourself in the logic versus the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So, because, in other words, we all have days we don't want to get out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I do. And that's an emotional response. We want to look at it logically because action produces results. And if you start to take action in your life, you're going to start to feel better and you're going to produce results.
Mm-hmm.
So that attitude piece of it actually is a 4-step process where you write down the things you need to do in a day to be successful. You identify the top 3 that would produce the greatest results in that day. But you actually start with the easiest thing on your list. Because you know what? It's so easy to get started with the easiest. It's like the movie What About Bob with Bill Murray,
mm-hmm.
where he talks about baby steps.
Right.
You know, you just get yourself started, and once you get yourself started, what you find is you keep going.
So this is not just a tape, you know, CDs with the pep talk. This is actually CDs with the pep talk and concrete.
Exactly.
Okay, because
a lot of us think
of motivational speakers, and we've gone to some of them, and they get us really charged up by the end of the workshop or the weekend and stuff, and, you know, there's no follow-up after that, and there's no support system after that. And one of the things you talk about very clearly is the importance of some kind of support structure, some kind of advocate for you that you can check in on a regular basis. Talk about the importance of that.
Well, 10% of individuals that I had surveyed had actually indicated that they didn't work to achieve their goals because they didn't want to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
And we all go through challenges in life, and I see individuals that have to do it all themselves, you know, and if they don't do it themselves, then they feel inferior.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is we all need a support system. whether we're working toward our goals and we need somebody to hold us accountable, because that is going to make us feel stronger and keep us moving in a positive direction. Or you're going through a tough time, and, you know, whether it's a divorce situation and you need your family to jump in and help out with your kids, whatever it is, it's important that we keep ourselves strong. And that's what we're using that support system for. The support system isn't there to say that, hey, you're weak, that's why you need help. The support system is there to keep you strong.
And for a lot of people, saying, I need help, is probably one of the most difficult things. And getting into therapy is difficult for most people. But to admit to somebody that you really know and to be that vulnerable and say, I need this help in staying structured, can you be the one to do this?
Right.
And it's important to think through your whole circle of people that you know, not just who you feel safest with, because who you feel safest with may not have the wherewithal and the skills necessary to do what you're asking them to do, but maybe somebody that's really a stretch for you to go to and ask this of them because you don't know them as well, but you know they have the tools.
Well, if I could just comment on that, Stuart, I mean, sometimes we do fall into our old patterns, and you're absolutely right. We may want to fall back on a family member for that support, but the family member may, without us realizing it, be the reason that we're having the challenge that we're having because of our upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
And what
yeah, the
we're
family
doing,
member is part of the dysfunctional pattern that,
right.
that existed to begin with.
Exactly. So you may be comfortable and you may think, well, you know, I'll go to mom, I'll go to dad, but mom or dad had you grew up, and I even know with my parents, you know, they knew me as a certain individual. And as soon as I started in therapy and I started speaking up more and I developed more assertiveness skills and developed more of who I was, they were like, well, geez, who's this gal?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a shock to their system.
Right.
And they weren't used to that. So you're absolutely right in that don't go into what's comfortable. Actually, look for somebody that you're not going to be quite as comfortable with because it is a risk and you're not quite sure what they're going to say, but you know this person's got the ability, they've got the level head, and they're going to be able to give you some good information.
And without taking a certain level of risk, it's going to be less likely that you're going to achieve what you're really going for.
You're right. You're
okay?
not going to
emotional risk as well as practical risk.
Yep, and that's very true.
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of it is a family member or someone you've known for years has also an ego investment in you being a certain way. You know, so there is a subconscious and sometimes conscious possibility that they might actually undermine what you're trying to accomplish instead of being a support for it without necessarily intending to do that.
Exactly. I mean, there are just so many factors revolved around that situation. I mean, like I said, when I think of my own personal growth with my family. And I mean, my family is great. I love them. But we had our issues. We are the typical family. You know what I mean? We are. It is what it is.
Yeah, my friend Sally Fisher has always said that the words dysfunctional family are redundant.
You know what? And that's very true. It's like when I work with organizations, and I had an opportunity to see a leader in one organization speak. And he said, you know, my organization is not dysfunctional. And that statement has no credibility. Every organization has dysfunction.
Right.
Every family has dysfunction. So it's just the way that it is. But it's our job to recognize that and say, you know what, I want to be a little different in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to make sure I get to the goals that I have in my life. You know, that's our job once we grow up.
Now, I'm going to get a little personal here, personal meaning my stuff, which I'm apt to do on this show.
Okay.
I asked you to hold off on talking about procrastination too much. Now, I'm 55 years old, and people who've listened regularly to the show know that at age 45, I was diagnosed with adult ADD, which helped me understand so much and put so many things in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the cornerstone symptoms of ADD is chronic procrastination, not just somebody who procrastinates from time to time. Everybody does that. But where procrastination seems to be more the norm than the exception.
Okay.
Now, you do a lot of good stuff on your CDs that I actually got some good things out of, dealing with procrastination. Talk about procrastination for a minute. And have you done this work individually with people dealing with ADD, where procrastination is not just a learned behavior, but almost a biochemical blockage?
Well, I have not done a ton of work with ADD individuals. I have had a few individuals that I've worked with, obviously, through the groups that I've trained that have expressed to me that they did have ADD. The process that I describe is an acronym called PERSIST, and it really starts by making things a priority. And I would say to you, other individuals that have ADD, do you use a daily planning system?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you have one. Do you? How often do you go through it? When do you review it? What's your schedule for using it?
Daily.
Excellent. And it should be daily, and then it should also be weekly.
Right.
Just FYI, well, you already know. You listen to my CD. You got an inside track.
Well, I've also, like I said, been working on these issues for 11 years since it's been diagnosed. And so, but I like the way you set it up in terms of someone with ADD needs the logical progression that you put out and needs somebody to work it with them.
Right.
You know,
I got
so
you.
In a sense,
well,
your CD
you.
Is actually partly that person working it with them.
Right.
So
exactly.
Talk about that. Talk about PERSIST. Go through each one of them.
The first part of that is the P, which is to make it a priority. If it's not important to you, it certainly isn't going to get done. It has to jump to the top of the list. It has to be, okay, you know, what do I have to gain by getting this done? What do I have to lose if I don't get this done? So
right.
It's got to become a priority. The E is to enroll, and that is second on the list for a reason, because if we are putting it off, then we're not doing ourselves any good at all, which means we need to enroll help, which is okay, which means call up the individual that can help you get started or help you plan a time to do it or be with you when you do start it, so you're actually setting an action date with them. And because you've committed to someone else, you've got to show up too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your party. You got to be there.
With this one, I really want to acknowledge a friend of mine named Pat Allen. He's that person I identified.
Really?
And he's not someone that's been necessarily a social person in my life a lot, but I knew because of his background in science of mind, and he's an accountant, and he's logical and organized. I called him and I said to him, look, I've had this book in my brain for 15 years. The title of it is the title of the show, Tell the Truth Faster.
Mm-hmm.
All I need to do is get the intro written in an outline.
Wow.
And I can't get myself to sit down and start focusing. I have files filled with notes, but none of them are organized. And I said to him, you know, would you come over and sit and let's make a to-do list, prioritize it? And what he said to me is exactly what you said. He said, now, would you be willing to report to me every week about the progress you've made or haven't made?
Mm-hmm.
And what that did for me was, number one, have someone to share the progress with that I'm really excited about,
yeah.
But also the shame involved with not moving. This is what telling the truth faster, the core of it, is about. A lot of us hold on to the shame and the embarrassment because we're afraid to admit that we haven't gotten something done and we're waiting to be scolded and everything else. By saying to Pat on a weekly basis, I didn't get these pieces done this week, it was a relief. It just let go of the desire to go deeper into isolation and shame, and that's a very common ADD thing.
Gotcha.
So enrolling somebody and someone like Pat was really exceptional for me. And I like the fact that you put that second, because it really, whether you have ADD or not, it's very difficult to move on to the other things you have listed under PERSIST without that touchstone.
Yeah. It's so true. And it's like you said earlier, people don't want to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? If you start achieving your goals, isn't that the ultimate goal?
Mm-hmm.
You're only holding yourself back is really what's happening. So good for you.
Now, the R is record.
Yes.
And?
Record your action steps.
Good. Go ahead.
Record your reward. So you want to make sure that you have written down what are the specific steps that need to be done. What's the reward that I'm going to gain if I accomplish this task?
Now, with people with ADD, when you ask them to do any writing or anything, that's like, oh my God, overwhelm. I'm not going to get it done. But what I like about this, and what I've always encouraged people to do, is keep the writing brief. Make them brief lists. Make them words that tell the. In other words, it doesn't have to be an essay.
Exactly.
It's just brief and something you can see immediately when you look at, when you say record.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the S is to schedule your first action step, and that's where you pick up your daily planning system. You're picking it up to schedule meetings and lunches and other activities in your day anyway. Schedule your first action step. And we want to make sure that it's not, well, it can certainly be more than 90 minutes long,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to block out 4 hours of time that we're never really going to do, because then you're going to look at that 4 hours of time and you're not even going to get yourself started.
Mm-hmm.
So schedule 90 minutes, so between 60 and 90 minutes for that first action step. And if you decide to stick with it because you've gotten yourself started, which is what typically happens,
right.
then let yourself go. Keep going with it. But don't block out too much time so that you're overwhelmed with that time.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you've done the task, the I is for immediacy.
Wait, there's another piece that you left out, though, also under schedule, the completion date.
Oh, that's right. Thank you so much.
Because is as important as the start date.
You're absolutely right.
You know, it gives you a goal, and it gives you something to start, you know, saying, and that completion date, I would think, is fluid and renegotiable at times.
Definitely.
Okay.
I mean, that's where we talk about being human. I mean, our goal here is to keep moving in a direction, but if there was something that came up that took you off track, you have to, like you said, tell the truth, be honest with yourself, but schedule your next time. It's not like, oh, I knew that this would fail, so I'm not even going to waste any more time on it.
Mm-hmm.
You just acknowledge it and you schedule your next time. You may need to move that completion date back a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but like you said, that's equally important. Schedule when you're going to start and give yourself a realistic completion date to finish.
Right.
Be honest with yourself. I've had individuals that say, you know, I want to work out, I want to lose 20 pounds, and they say they're going to commit to the gym, you know, going 5 times a week, and here they haven't even been once in a year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to be realistic.
Mm-hmm. And to allow your humanity. So if, you know, for a lot of people, if they set a completion date or set a goal and they don't achieve it at that point in time, they're conditioned to perceive it as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a failure if you've made progress towards it.
No.
And that you're just saying, you know what, I need a little more time. It's more realistic now. I know more of what I need to do. And the first completion date wasn't necessarily realistic.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. It's okay to change. It's just like when you make a decision on something and some people feel compelled that they can't change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
They feel they have to move forward even though it may not be the best thing for them. Sometimes it's okay to change your mind.
Right.
If you need to.
Mm-hmm.
The I is for immediacy, which means as soon as you're done with the task, check it off. You give yourself that feeling of accomplishment that you did something with that task. And then schedule your next action task that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got your planner in your hand, you're checking it off anyway. Identify when am I going to continue on this if I haven't finished it.
Mm-hmm.
The other S is for stay the course, which means this is what we've been talking about. You may get off track. Realize that those situations may happen. What's most important is that you get yourself back on track so that you continue to move toward that goal.
And that goes back to the person you may have enrolled.
Yes.
You know, by reporting in, and this is what I do with Pat sometimes. You know, it's like, okay, I didn't get this done, and we'll talk about what interfered with it and what can I do to get focused again and, you know, get back on track.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
And the final T is for track your progress. We are an immediate gratification society. We want to feel good right away. We think about what we haven't done rather than what we have accomplished. So we focus on the negative rather than the positive. Instead of saying, hey, I just completed an hour of this task, we say, I still have 10 hours to go. This is never going to get done. And we change that way of thinking by just looking at what you did do. You know, give yourself that reward. Track your progress give yourself a little reward as you're moving forward so that you can celebrate the big reward when it's done and feel good about yourself along the way.
Yeah. So if somebody persists...
Right, exactly, which is what it's all about. Right?
I know. If they persist in getting through all these steps, basically what you're also saying is it's constant reevaluating each step and going back to the beginning again and seeing what needs to be done to kind of tweak it and so that you stay on track and maximize the possibilities of success.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's right.
So now you know why I asked you to save...
Save that,
because
yeah.
It's a very personal thing to me, and I know that when I'm dealing with any clients of mine that are dealing with ADD especially,
mm-hmm.
it's such a touchy feeling because there's been such a history of overwhelm, and you listed with procrastination, you listed a number of things that how procrastination affects us destructively or negatively, and you listed depression and low self-esteem. And one that I really like that you mentioned is you start setting lower standards for yourself,
which
let you feel real good about yourself, because most of us know that we could be raising the bar and could be achieving more if we had this type of structure.
It becomes one circle. I mean, it's just a spiral that just builds on itself if we're allowing ourselves. You talked about going down and hitting bottom, and it just becomes a spiral moving downward if we don't take action and do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, the effects of not just procrastination, but any of the things that we feel bad about ourselves also affects relationships, mm-hmm. causes, you know, the body-mind connection, physical illness, and, you know, this constant undercurrent of feeling like a failure, and that it becomes financially costly over time. We may lose our job, you know, like you used as an example, procrastinating with your taxes may cost you penalties and other things like that. So it ends up actually financially costing you.
Yes, it affects you all the way around.
You know, absolutely. So when people say to me, well, I can't afford therapy, or, you know, this CD set sounds really good, but I really can't afford to buy it, you know, usually I say, well, how much has your behaviors been costing you?
Yeah.
You know, especially if it's like an addiction type of issue. You know, someone says, well, you know, I spend $300 or $400 a week mm-hmm. on crystal. You know, I said, well, then if the goal is not to use crystal, that means you're going to have $300 or $400 a week to invest in yourself and in your growth.
Exactly. And
that includes being willing to invest in things like, you know, Make a Decision to Win and the CD tape that... You know, we all have excuses for not spending money, but when we're in our negative mindset and overwhelm, we spend money like there's no tomorrow very often.
And that's really true. And, I mean, you mentioned even with drugs, I mean, people invest money in drugs. Not only would that money, like you said, go to therapy, but the time that you're on drugs, how productive and effective and how much are you moving toward your goals
mm-hmm.
during that time? Chances are not very much.
Right.
So if you now have your brain and your mind and you've got the money in your pocket, imagine how much power you can have.
Right.
It's just, it all comes together. I mean, it all comes back to the choices that we make.
Okay. Now, you said something very important. Talk about personal power from your perspective and how you approach that particular issue within your work and your life. Personal power.
Well, personal power with me and the choices that I make, I know everything I do is going to affect my life regardless. Back in 1990, I filed bankruptcy. So even in the midst of me starting my business, I was still in the middle of a bankruptcy. I stayed in my business, being a motivational speaker at the time. It was called a motivational speaker. And had to work my way out of the bankruptcy, stay in business. My first year in business, I made $17,000. So I had to continue to move forward and continue to believe in who I was. So my personal power came from persistence, determination, staying strong within myself. I was in therapy at the time, which also helped me to stay in a positive direction. But that doesn't take away from the challenges that I experienced along the way. And today in my life, when it comes to me moving forward, again, it's all reflective on the choices that I make, and I have to be honest with myself and be truthful to myself, like you talk about, and say, wait a minute, Gail, it wasn't a good choice. That certainly isn't going to produce the results I want. I have been in the same situations as other individuals in life. There are phone calls I don't feel like making or people I don't feel like confronting. But wait a minute, if I don't confront them, am I demonstrating the type of person that I need to be in my life? So I need to confront them. If I don't confront them, am I going to get to where I want in my life faster or slower? Chances are slower. So believe me, there are things in my life that I don't feel like doing, but I know the difference is I want to make the choices that a winner makes. I don't want to make the choices that are going to take away from the life that I've created, that I've continued to build and work on when I've done so much already.
And it's also about, like I keep saying, telling the truth faster. The sooner you get there, the less time you've wasted on the downward spiral, on all the drained energy of rehearsing possibilities in your head, that you know, the sooner you get to that place of deciding and making a decision to win and reaching out to programs like your CD set and other materials that you've produced and other people have produced, the sooner you do it, the faster you get out of the spiral and the more you start energizing yourself, the sooner you start energizing yourself.
It's amazing because people don't, or some individuals, I should say, I won't say all people, but some individuals, and I think we all do at certain times, regardless of who we are, but sometimes coming to the truth is difficult. We don't want to face it. The sooner you come to the truth, the faster you move toward your goals. The longer it takes you to come to the truth with yourself, the longer it's going to take you to reach those goals, if you ever do. Because there are people out there that do not take responsibility with their lives. Everything is other people's fault, other people's problem. It's not theirs. And they're never going to come to that peace unless they can come to terms with who they are and what they've done.
Now, in one of the pieces I was emailed called Spring Ahead, Get Productive with Your Life, Reduce Stress, and Achieve More Than You Ever Thought Possible. Number 7 on that is something I talk about a lot and I think is really important, to reframe all of this work and make achieving goals fun.
Yeah.
In other words, stop seeing it as an effort and, you know, thinking of it in dark, you know, demoralizing terms, and actually find ways of reframing this as fun. So how do you suggest people go about that?
Well, first thing I think we have to take a look at is, you know what, this is a goal that we're working toward in our lives. You know, this is not some dreaded, awful situation that we're dealing with. You know, it's not a tragedy. It is a goal, which means it's something positive to begin with. And since it is something positive, it's so important that we stop and we say to ourselves, how can I make this fun? You know, if it's losing weight, maybe it is getting involved with an aerobics class and getting other people involved, or maybe it's taking a hike. So maybe it's a little one-day trip vacation that you take somewhere, take somewhere, and you decide, hey, you know what, I'm going to take a hike because that's another way to get exercise, but, you know, I love hiking. So we've got to seek out these different ways of doing things, even financially. You know, if your goal is to save more money, you know what? Stop every time you get your statement, your checking account statement or your savings statement, and look at it and look at what you've done and how far you've come. And think about, you know what, I'm saving this money. What am I going to be using it for once I've reached my goal number? You know, where's my reward going to be? So be thinking to yourself the positive pieces of it, not the negative parts of it. Like, geez, I just had to sacrifice again. You know, start to think in terms of, I'm getting one step closer. Look at the people that I met. This opportunity never would have presented itself if I hadn't done this.
This also gets back to engaging the people in the process. In other words, who would you like to go out hiking with? Who don't you get to see? I did this with a friend of mine. We don't get to see each other very often, but, you know, there's some hiking trails up near where I live, and so twice a week we started just getting up early in the morning, and we were motivating each other because we had that commitment to get up and walk together. And, you know, once we got started, it was an incredible view of the valleys and the hills and even as far as the ocean from some of these trails, even though I live in Hollywood.
That's amazing.
You know, so it's like engaging someone else, so they become a playmate in the process.
Yeah.
You know, not a taskmaster.
Exactly.
You know, see these people as a playmate and not somebody who's there to be parental with you.
Right. Right. You know, we can all maximize the time that we have, and sometimes we don't do it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we do that, the more fulfilled we're going to feel personally and professionally.
Right. Now, let's talk about how people can get in touch with you. I know you have a website, which is basically www.gailcasper.com. That's GAILKASPER. So that is one way, and they can actually order the CD set, Make a Decision to Win. What else can they find on your website?
My website has the Make a Decision CDs, as you mentioned. It has my background and history, so individuals can review that. It also has a list of training programs that I offer as a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a keynote speech or a specific training program on public speaking or leadership, sales, whatever specific issues might be affected within an organization. So it really gives you everything from soup to nuts on me, plus testimonials that also demonstrate some of the work that I've done.
Mm-hmm. And so with speech topics, there's also a schedule, so people can find out where else you're going to be speaking, where you're going to be doing your workshops, what the dates are for those things. They even got the show up there very quickly, which a lot of my guests don't get their websites updated so quickly when I schedule them. So I was pleased to see that your schedule for this show was up there already too.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I feel that it's so important that people know what I'm up to and what's going on, and it's like we've been talking about. You know, it's like you want to have that key person in place, and I have a web designer that is in place that I can really count on, you know. But our tendency, again, I'm going to go back to some of the things I've talked about, but I had a web designer in place that wasn't working for me,
mm-hmm.
and I stayed with him too long. So it's all about saying, wait a minute, you know, the opportunity is not where I am. The opportunity is where I'm moving.
Mm-hmm.
So we always have to be exploring different opportunities if something isn't going the way that we want it to. So I'm really excited, and I appreciate you noticing that, you know, it's up to date and it's all on track.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing also is that people can actually hear some television and other radio clips that you've done, so that they can go there and maybe get a little snippet of, you know, what you're teaching and maybe get a daily motivation by at least hearing your voice. Now, people can also get to you through my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. And where the description for today's show is, there's a hyperlink to Gail's website, gailcasper.com, if you should forget.
Mm.
And the today's show will be archived so that people, actually, Gail, you can make use of this too if you want someone to really hear a full hour of who you are and what you've been doing. A lot of my guests use my website and the archives as a kind of an online resume or promotional thing, but I get a lot of people who are looking for doing a search for a particular topic that they've never heard of the show before and end up at my website listening to an hour of a guest talking about that particular topic and ending up getting to their website or emailing me thanking me for making that available.
Oh, excellent.
So
thank you
very much. The show will be archived within about a week to 2 weeks.
Okay.
And for those of you who that have been having problems with the website, it turns out, speaking of, you know, servers and you know, web designers, apparently the bandwidth that I've been using has made listening to some of those archives difficult, and they're all being reprocessed so that there's a larger bandwidth on each one of the MP3s of the archives, so people shouldn't have any technical difficulties listening to them in the future. So, final words, something you want to leave the audience with today.
Definitely. Believe in themselves, believe in their goals, and celebrate every accomplishment as you move forward in your life. And continue to build on who you are, whether it's through a coach, through a therapist. It's so critical in taking your life to the next level so that you can always keep yourself on track.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I couldn't have said it better myself. Gail, I really want to thank you for being with us today. and for the wisdom, and I actually am looking forward to listening to more of the CD set myself and actually turning a few of my clients that I think would benefit from it onto it.
Thank you so much.
So thank you very much.
Oh, such a pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I enjoyed your audience.
Thank you. So for those of you who are listening, know that last 2 weeks ago, I actually have a new sponsor, and I just want to acknowledge them before we go off the air today. And earlier we were talking about personal power and the importance of embracing that in your life through changing behaviors and attitudes. Well, in light of what's been going on with Terry Schiavo and this end-of-life issues, today my sponsor is the Rainbow Mobile Notary Services. And they actually will come to you to help make sure that you have the papers in order and notarize them for you, whether you're in the hospital, whether you're at home. They have the forms for you for a durable power of attorney, for medical health care, for living wills, things like that. But the convenience factor that Charles King has with the Rainbow Mobile Notary Services can really help empower you personally by taking care of these issues, by making these decisions that we all know are uncomfortable, and we all tend to avoid stressful, emotional, physical, and financially charged issues. And our thoughts usually are, it's never going to happen to me, or I got plenty of time to do this. But I'm telling you that the peace of mind that comes with having these things prepared means that you won't be the next Terry Schiavo. You won't be leaving your loved ones who may already be having a difficult time emotionally with an illness you may be in from having to make decisions that they are not sure you would even want. So Rainbow Mobile Notary Services with Charles King, get these papers done. He's incredible. You can call him to schedule taking care of your living wills, getting them notarized, and you can call him at 480-518-2090. That's 480-518-2090, or you can visit his website at www.rainbowprof.com. That's Rainbow, P-R-O-F, as in professional, rainbowprof.com. And tell Charles that you heard the ad on my show, Tell the Truth Faster, and support my supporters. I appreciate it. So, again, I want to thank Gail Casper. I want to thank my listeners, and I invite you to have a really good weekend, a very empowered weekend. Make a decision to win this weekend and get some things started. Go to Gail's website or my website and continue the process that today's show may have triggered for you. I really encourage that, as I do every week. So this is Stuart Altshuler on Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM 1310 AM in Phoenix. Wishing you all a great weekend, and thanks for listening, and we'll be back again next weekend.